to the Paul Fax Diary podcast. You remember last week I found myself part of a special needs dating program. Not the proudest, highest, most moral point of my life, but it is a point of my life that's in this diary, therefore I'm reading it out. I'm in London with Tony. We're doing some challenges to maybe touch, well, maybe not touch, but date a sexy woman model called Sunny. Okay, so let's just pick up on the 12th of November. Tony, if you'd like to do the introductory 12th of November reading, please.
12th of November. Seems somewhat redundant to make me say that.
Yeah, but tough teacher. 12th of November.
So by now, why have you said that?
Sorry. 12th of November. Today we were back at that modern glass building. You know, where we were doing the fashion design, where we designed a cloth for Sunny to wear. That was one challenge. Now this is the next challenge. Okay. Today we were back at that modern glass building, each with our own pretentious designer man helping us make the outfit that we designed yesterday. Apparently my design is bold, brash and classic. But how can it be classic? It's from the future, or it's supposed to be. Hasn't even been invented yet, not made it. Bizarre. We were filmed cutting out materials to shapes the designer had made from tracing paper. It took ages. The cameraman who was filming us wanted to keep getting different angles, so we had to keep stopping every few minutes while he repositioned himself. Once we'd cut out all the bits, the designer sewed them together, and like magic, a silver jumpsuit was formed. Though the shorts weren't half as short as I wanted, but the cleavage section was bigger than I hoped for, so more bosom would be on show. So it's perverted swings and perverted roundabouts, eh? We'd done by about 2 p.m, so we were taken back to the hotel, and we had to do an interview on camera about how we thought everything would go in. Before, these had been done in private, but this time it was with all the other chaps watching us, you know, all the other special needs boys. My interview went fine, though I'm a little worried I might actually start developing Down syndrome now. It's getting easier and easier to act like this, and I'm struggling to go back to normal. Anyway, when Barry, my nemesis, was doing his interview halfway through, one of the other chaps, whom I don't think has any mental issues, he just can't walk, he drove right at Barry, screaming, "I'm telling you, she's mine!" And he sort of drove at her like an angry Dalek. In the end, he was removed from the programme. Apparently, he's been very rude whilst on the date with Sunny and threatened a few people beforehand. He ties a knife to his wheelchair and comes at you. That leaves just 8 people. I've a 1 in 8 chance of doing unimaginable things with a lady's consent, obviously. Literally unimaginable, as I've an inability to imagine it. And Tony won't tell me what it looks like.
13th of November.
Today was a big day. Apparently there's been talks with the TV company that are making this, that there was some kind of concern that this TV programme might be a bit exploitative or offensive. But they wanted to carry on with the project anyway, and due to the guy being removed yesterday, only 3 people would be leaving today. It's the fashion show, so they'd set up a big stage in the hotel where the restaurant was, with a curtained off area where Sunny would no doubt be getting naked every 3 or 4 minutes. The TV people had set up lights and, you know, all that TV stuff. And then they set them going, all starting flashing and zooming about. The fashion show was about to begin. I grabbed Tony's hand, I was so excited. Loud modern music started playing, and then she paraded out wearing what I can only describe as a human-sized vacuum cleaner hose. It covered her whole body from neck to knee, with holes for arms. It was silver. It looked very futuristic. I was furious. I'd hoped that I was the only one that thought to use modern silvery fabrics. Sunny paraded around looking stupid and stunning at the same time. I couldn't believe it. Then she went back and got changed into the next thing, She changed into the next thing, which was essentially a nun's outfit without the weird hat thing. Rubbish. Then she came out in my outfit. My erection was virtually instant. It was so tight, I don't know how she could breathe. Her cleavage was almost, leaving nothing to the imagination, save for the nipple area, of course. That's a bit too rude, even for television. And then she turned around and walked back the catwalk thing, and her buttocks were clearly visible. I swooned. I literally swooned like a woman from the deep south in the 1800s. And I'm sure I said, "Oh, mercy me." When suddenly did a turn around, she winked at me. Then after that, she came out in loads of my outfits, but none of them were as sexy as mine. Then something happened. When she'd modelled all of the outfits, both me, Barry, and a chap called Peter got called backstage. We were taken into a room where there were replicas made out of the outfits that we'd made for Sunny, but they were in our sizes. We were meant to model them. Peter had designed the weird vacuum cleaner hosting, put his on first, and we heard him walking down the catwalk with Sunny. Then Barry went out in his outfit, which looked just like a suit to me. Then I had to get completely naked. There was no one in the room to help me or look at me, and get myself into the silver jumpsuit thing. Ooh, now then. It might have been tight on her, but they'd got my measurements wrong, because shit, it was tight on me. And I mean tight. I don't just mean it was snug. I mean it was tight. There was no hiding my giant bulbous belly or my leg fats. The shorts were so short, I feared that my testy might pop out at any minute. The only problem was I couldn't reach around the back to do the zip up. So I sort of waddled around the room to the backstage area, and then I nearly fainted. Why did I faint? Because it was so tight? No. I fainted because there was a mirror which was angled in such a way that I could see into Sunny's changing room. I only caught a glimpse for a split second of her, and I'm not entirely sure what I saw, but I think I saw her bare bottom. She was just pulling up a jumpsuit, and I think I saw the bum crack. Anyway, she turned round and saw me in the mirror, and then she came out, but she was smiling. She turned round and asked me to zip her up. Right, okay, so several things happened in the next 2 seconds. I obviously firstly became sexually aroused. I mean, that was imminent and not unexpected. Secondly, my mouth went incredibly dry. And third, I began to shake uncontrollably. And fourthly, my bowels turned over, should I say. I got the zip, which was basically resting on her bum, which meant I had to touch the top part of her bum. And to keep the zip tight, I had to pinch it together. Oh, and touch a bum area. Oh, my hands were shaking so much I could hardly do it. Now, this is part of the embarrassing bit. I had a very strange penis incident. To be frankly honest, dear diary, it felt like I had a sex accident in my underwear, if you know what I mean. No sexual liquids were forthcoming, pun intended. I don't know what's wrong with my man parts that this keeps happening. Mind you, I suppose it is normal if you're, my age and you don't know what a new woman looks like nude. Anyway, I had my hand on her back, and I zipped her up, and she turned round and told me that she would zip me up. So I turned round. Oof, my groin felt very, very odd indeed. And when she zipped me up, she held my hand and walked out into the catwalk thing. She said, "Just follow my lead." But I was so flummoxed by the whole thing that I couldn't even bother keeping up my Down syndrome act. Though with the look of arousal and slight panic on my face, I don't think this was a problem. I kept looking over at her, and I could see right into her cleavage. Again, still no nipples were visible, but I could say 70% of her left bosom was. Again, the bizarre, strange, sexual feeling came in my groin. But once again, no liquid was forthcoming. It was very peculiar. We walked up and down the catwalk twice and then went backstage, and she turned me round and unzipped me. Then she asked me to unzip her. My tummy turned over again and I did a Trump and I unzipped her and the zip went lower than it had been when it done it before. Because I managed to see, I would say, 30% of a bum crack. And again, the strange sexual feeling in my underpants happened. I just got so nervous, my hands were spasming, I couldn't release my finger, and I started to unzip her clothes even further. But she turned around and slapped my shoulder, but gently, in a laughing manner, and said, "Hey, cheeky, that's enough of that." And then she walked back into her own private dressing area, and I looked, but the mirror had been removed. My groin felt very odd and quite painful. This jumpsuit was tighter than the tightest thing in all of Tight Town. And so I went back into my dressing room. There was no one there. And I started to strip into the nude. But that's when it happened. As soon as my member became free from its prison of crushing silvery fabrics. Well, an arcing jet of seat at sex weekend spraying forth from my man parts. I'm sorry, that's the only way I can describe it. It went absolutely everywhere and just wouldn't stop spraying out of me. It went all over the jumpsuit, all over the walls. Some went on my clothes. It just kept coming out. And it turns out my trump wasn't gas, but also some liquid poo-poo came out. They're going to have to burn this jumpsuit. It was just soiled beyond belief. I got dressed as quickly as I could, but there was nothing in the room to clean myself up with. In the end, I had to use my boxer shorts, but they just sort of smeared the liquids around. Then I had my filthy boxer shorts. I stuffed them in my trouser pockets and went back outside and sat down next to Tony. And he just looked at me and said,
"What's that smell?"
And then he just gave me a most disgusted look and scooched his chair three feet away from me. In the end, three people got voted off. Not me, though. I'm still in the competition. Oh, dear me. I felt like an eternity waiting for them to finish doing all the filming and the stupid interviews that they keep doing. I had to stick around to the end. I was sure someone was going to come and say something to me about the state of the dressing room or my jumpsuit. But I guess they thought it was part of my condition because nobody said anything. Bizarre. On one hand, this has been the most erotic day of my life, and if I'm honest, I'm not even sure I'm a virgin anymore. I saw part of a buttock and a bit of a bosom, and then I had a sex accident. That must count, surely to goodness. Very bizarre day. Very bizarre day.
14th of November.
Tony had 7 cups of espresso coffee this morning. Despite the chest pains and being a bit sick, he was very entertaining to everybody. He was just being a merry jester, weren't you, Tony?
Yeah.
Today's task, we were asked to go around some charity shops and put together an outfit from the second-hand items for Sonny and myself, you know, which complement each other. Charity shops in London are so expensive, I could have done a full brand new wardrobe shop worth of clothes up north. London's such a bizarre place. Now, I don't think Sunny would be happy wearing Tesco value clothes, but she might, I don't know. Again, we went in pairs and I went with Barry today. We really don't get on. I think he knows I'm faking it. I kept making that noise at him, but he wasn't bothered. We walked around for ages with Tony going crazy in the shops, trying on hats and coats with his caffeine-fueled craziness. Kooky he was. I think he's just trying to get himself on TV. But from what I've overheard with the cameraman, they're not even sure if this is going to be broadcast now. I heard the cameraman saying on his phone that it's something about how it's being insensitive and exploitative. Not bothered. I think I don't mind being exploited if I get to touch another bum. In the end, I found some tweed jackets and flat caps for that northern look. Then I got some mini shorts for her and some cycling shorts for me because I wanted to look energetic and futuristic, like I've noticed all the people in London do. You know, all the fashionable ones look utterly ridiculous. So the more foolish I look, the more fashionable I look. Surely to goodness, that's how it works. Well, it's my theory anyway. When Sunny came to judge the evening, she didn't like them at all. To be honest, she was in a foul mood. She didn't like anybody's. I think she was putting it on for the camera, though. You know, I suspect some of the TV executives wanted to see some more drama or something. So she had to be cruel. Like all women are to me. She said about my outfits, I'd look like a tramp in hot pants. And who wants to see a tramp in hot pants? What a load of utter garbage. I started crying. And it was only 30% pretend. In the end, she voted off Peter because he just got her a waistcoat and got himself a condom. Some of these chaps are ruder than I am. I didn't think that were possible.
15th of November.
Today, the remaining contestants had to arrange a party.
A what?
They had to arrange a party.
A party?
Yeah, a party.
Why are you saying it in a stupid American accent?
I wanted to. Makes me feel urban. Anyway, there's only four of us now. I don't know if the other people got voted off or they just left. I just listened and for my name and go up at Sonny. And Tony ain't got a clue what was going on. I think he's back on a drug or something. He looks very funny. Anyway, I'm no party animal. But I remember going to one once in the 90s. I made myself head of crisps, snacks and nibbles. I went to some really posh restaurant. I want a restaurant, it was a supermarket, what we're talking about. I went to a really posh supermarket and spent £42.43 on crisps. They have such exotic flavours here in Londinium. Such as spare rib, barbecue chicken, feta and blue cheese. I also bought some balloons, party hats, and then things you blow and they uncurl and make a rasping noise. That's what you have at parties, isn't it? When I got back to the hotel, I showed the other guys what I got, and they seemed very angry. I didn't get any proper foods like sausages, cheese and pineapple hedgehog, whatever that is, mini sausage rolls or fruit punches. And then I said, well, fruit punch isn't a snack, is it? It's a drink. Drink's not a snack. They all still seemed quite angry at me. When it came time for the party to start, no one had thought to do anything other than put, now that's what I call music 359 on. We all sat in the chairs and waited for Sunny to come in, but she didn't turn up till after 10 o'clock. We'd started the party at 6 p.m. So it was just me and Barry sat on chairs. The other chaps had gone back to their rooms. So it turned out they got voted off. They weren't as dedicated as me. In the end, it was me, Barry and Sunny just sat round a table. She tried the blue cheese crisp and complimented who had ever put the snacks out. She said they were very thoughtful of the veganism she was doing that day. I thought, well done me. I was very proud. I think I'm a shoo-in, as they say. You know, if a woman's going to either choose me or Barry, son of a bitch, surely they're going to choose me. I don't even have to wear that weird crash helmet all the time that Barry wears. Also, Tony apparently pooed himself a little bit today. He's definitely taking something. I don't know what, but it's making him act hilariously. During the low point of the party, he went round punching all the balloons and screaming that they were his father's wife. Screaming he was. Furious. And then he tried to throttle a microphone. Thought it was his wife gone thin, because she has got a big head and a thin long neck. Hell of a drug, whatever it was.
16th of November. It was aspirin, Paul.
I'm sure it was aspirin, Tony. 16th of November. Today was the big day, the finale. Who would she choose, me or Barry? We were given one last task. Today we were to organise a wedding. Our wedding. We got help from some of her previous contestants. Though, if I'm honest, they were more of a hindrance. Firstly, I had 30 minutes to choose a dress for Sunny and an outfit for me. Now, I don't know if brides are meant to wear white. It's not a world I walk in, is it? I've seen white brides in films, but is that just because... I don't know. Anyway, I chose a bright red dress for her, which is quite revealing on the bosom line, whatever you call it. And I found a bright white tuxedo for me, which Tony said was incredibly appropriate that I wear. Again, don't know why. Then I had a 20-minute meeting with some caterers, and I got to try several meats on cocktail sticks. And in the end, I went for whatever the white meat was. Also came with a dipping sauce of some description. I don't know. After lunch, we were whisked away to a field where two big tents were being set up. Marquises or something. Marquise, is it? Don't know. I have to order some people into arranging tables and an area for a band and somewhere for idiots to dance upon. I found this so stressful, especially keeping up with the Down syndrome act. I think I've done permanent damage to my jaw and lower lip the way I keep gurning within it. By tea time, it had started to rain so much that the producer had to call off the evening's wedding events. He was absolutely furious, screaming into his phone with the cockney voice he was. So quick to anger, that man. Always on his phone, seemingly begging people to let the programme continue. Then, just as we were going for the night, he tried to open a large fence for one of the trucks, but he couldn't get any purchase on the handle of the fence because it was raining so bad, and he just started screaming, punning at it, rocking it back and forwards. Then he kicked it and broke his foot, and some men had to carry him off in a Range Rover. Idiot. So angry. But, his anger is ending up getting himself hurt more than anybody else, so it's his own fault, isn't it? Pillock.
17th of November.
Here comes the bride, all nude and white. Well, maybe. I've just got up. Apparently we're having a fake wedding today. Both me and Barry have to propose to Sunny, and whoever she picks is the winner of the programme, and the loser has to be the other chap's best man. I don't want Barry being my best man. Anyway, they didn't make us buy her an engagement ring, which I feel a bit distraught at, so I'm going to nick an onion ring and put that on her finger. Cheapskate programme. Anyway, I think they didn't get us an engagement ring because they're scared that we'll eat it. Barry keeps eating anything he can get his hands on. I swear I saw him swallow a handful of small change yesterday. Right, I'm just writing this. Oh, I'm getting called. I thought I was going to write a bit more about me and making thoughts about a wedding. Never mind, can't do it. Just going to have to go ahead with it. Right, Tony's shouting me. Oh, Christ. Right, I'm going for a wedding. Oh, shittingtons. Severe Jimmy Savile in the voice.
11:37 p.m. on the day of the 17th of November, 2000 and whatever year this is supposed to be.
My life has taken a very, very unexpected turn. So do your diary. I don't know why I do this all the time, but let's just do it. Let me take you back in time, dear diary. Back in time to about 11 a.m. in a muddy field somewhere on the outskirts of what I think is probably still London. We were back in the Marquis of Bath, maybe? No. Some TV people were washing the floor because some mud had got into the tents. I got to see what Barry looked like. What? I got to see what Barry's one looked like, his tent. Alright, I see. Stand there. I haven't explained that. There's two tents for the two different weddings. Barry had designed his wedding. I'd designed my wedding. Don't know why I'd forgotten to put that in. Anyway, Barry's tent, he just put the chairs in a circle with a dance floor on the stage for a band in the middle. And then the head table where the bride and groom would sit was just put in a corner because apparently he wanted to be on his own with her, just to touch her up. I thought, no, that's not what you do. Treat them with dignity and respect. That's a revelation I've come to quite quickly today. Not something I thought about when I was doing that silver jumpsuit, but let's not talk about that. But anyway, the time came for us to propose to her. I thought I'd better play this one big, so I hammed up my Down syndrome quite a lot. There were major facial tics, hand spasms and gurning, the likes of which the world had never seen before. I waddled up to her and I said, but she didn't answer. Then Barry came up and asked her to marry him. cameramen were all up in our business, as the kids from the 90s would say, filming our every expressions, features, ticks. Barry's speech was a lot clearer than mine, though he did manage to kick me while he was saying it, don't know why. But this seemed to upset Sonny, and with his nasty footwork, he sabotaged his own proposal. Because she only cocking well chose me, didn't she? I could not believe it. But I was too nervous to get an erection, so anyway, that was it. Now I was to be fake marrying this model, while Barry, son of a bitch, who for the record, I hate and is a shit, and I hope he falls over and hurts his teeth. I don't care if he's got that hat on, I hope they hurt them. He had to watch from the sidelines, pretending to be happy for me. Anyway, it all happened so fast. Me and Barry stood next to each other, and she simply said, "Paul, I will marry you." And then she kissed me full on the back of the hand. There was a bit of lipstick on the back of my hand, and a bit of a spittle. Quick as a flash, I licked the back of my hand and spittle up. Disgusting. She recalled a little bit in horror, but it was too late. Too late, love. Verbal contract. Stand up in the court of law. Anyway, after they'd done some lighting and repositioning of the cameras for our fake wedding, it got underway. I got my white tuxedo on in a little caravan thing where Tony was hiding. And he gave me a pep talk on what to do when it came to the kissing bit. And I say pep talk, he just said to me, "Well, Tony, tell me, what did you say to him? Her, me, someone. What did you say?"
I said, "Grab her by the ass and try to lick the back of her teeth."
I was so nervous, I didn't know what to do. I almost couldn't pleasure myself before the ceremony. Almost. I still managed it, because I did. Then it was 2 p.m. Time for my wedding. I stood in front of everybody, shaking uncontrollably, blubbering like a fat ball of shame. Most of the previous contestants were stood behind me making up the audience. One of them was having a freak out. I think it was Barry. He refused to be my best man, so Tony had to be. Then the music started and in she walked. Oh, she looked amazing. The dress I'd chosen for her had a very low boob line, so again I could see a gigantic percentage of her bosom. She walked down the aisle, glowing. I mean, not literally from a fake tan, she just looked radiant. Then she came and stood by me. She even held my shaking hand. I was so nervous. I found it hard to keep up the Down syndrome thing. I was so nervous. I say nervous, I mean absolutely freaking terrified. I knew I was going to have to kiss this woman in a minute. And now it came down to it. I was too shy and couldn't bring myself to do it. I didn't know what to do. Why don't they teach you this kind of thing at school? All I remember about sex education was that masturbating is shameful. Or isn't shameful. I can't remember which it is now. Don't matter. It's never bothered me in my life. And I remember that the cutout of woman's internal organs looked like a goat's head. I can still visualise it. Anyway, two ovaries, fallopian tube, and a womb. That's all that was going through my head. Just womb, the words, and the picture. But what you actually technically do when you have to push your face against somebody else and do a kiss at them, don't know, no idea. The vicar man started poking me. I drifted away thinking about a womb. I was trying to picture mum and dad kissing, seeing what they do. Cecil's like a bird pecking at a plate of seed. I was supposed to say whatever the vicar had said, like, I'll reiterate it. So I just said, ditto. And that seemed to appease the vicar man. Sonny said the things that the vicar said, and then we both said, "I do." Well, I made mine sound like idle, because if it was a real marriage, that's how we would be for the duration of it. Then came the most terrifying moment. "I now pronounce you husband and wife. May kiss for bride." But the fear built up to horrific proportions. My bowels loosened, and I know for a fact atoms of poo dribbled out. I looked into her eyes. She looked into mine. She leaned down. The three Bibles I was stood on started to wobble, and I was stood on my tiptoes. Our faces were inches apart. Then it happened. A moment that will be crystallised in my memory for the rest of my life. When I die and my life flashes before my eyes, these next few moments will be replayed over and over again. It was the stupidest fucking thing I've ever done in my life. Before our lips touched, I whispered to her, "I don't really have Down syndrome. It's all been an act because I love you." She recoiled. Her hands ripped away from my hands in shock. Her face went from that of happy because she was getting married to horror, to anger, to her punching me clean in the tits. And by tits, I mean face. Then she kicked me in the testicles and ran away genuinely crying. Then the knobhead of a vicar shouted, "It's not disabled at all." That's when things went bad. I don't really remember much. All I remember is Barry coming at me and then jumping on top of me, pummeling me hard with his powerful fliddy fists. I woke up in casualty on a stretcher, completely numb. Tony was sat next to me reading a 4-year-old copy of Bella. When he saw I'd come to, he called for a doctor. Apparently I hadn't gotten any concussion or any broken bones, but I was 69% bruised over my entire body. Luckily they'd beaten me about the body parts, so I wasn't actually too malformed in the face. Later the producer came to see me. He was what's that word? I've written the word ecstatic there, but I've written it phonetically because I'm assuming I didn't know how to spell it at the time. I'll read that again. That really confused me. Later, the producer came to see me. He was ecstatic that I'd given him some great TV. I told him he was welcome, and I was curious as to where my wife was. As suspected, the marriage ceremony wasn't legally binding because the vicar wasn't a real vicar and we hadn't signed any official documentation. Sonny never wanted to see me again, of course. That was not really a shock to me. And I thought, well, you know, nothing else got to see down the top. And she did kiss my hand. And that's about as much as a chubby lad like me can expect to get, I assume. Mind you, you know, it was pretty evil to pretend I had Down syndrome. So, I did get a karma recomeuppance, didn't I? Just a point to note, I've been dictating this diary entry to Tony, who's been writing it up. Oh, I see. So please excuse any and all spelling mistakes. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Alright, that's it, Tony. You can stop writing now. Oof. Can you hold my wee, please? I think I need to do a wee wee out of it and I can't move my arms. Tony? Tony, are you there? Tony, quickly, please. I'm weeing. Tony, I'm weeing. Oh, you bastard. God, stop writing. We do. Stop writing, you son of a bitch. Stop writing and touch my wee. It's coming out. Oh, it's going everywhere. Poo's coming out, Tony, get a nurse. Get a nurse, please. Someone help me. Oh, what are you? Not a male nurse. Piss off, you puff. What are you doing? Get off. Don't touch my cock. Get a proper lady nurse. Oh, you bastards. What's that? Do I wipe my cock with it? I want a woman nurse. Get off my anus. Oh, I don't care if it's filthy. Oh, Tony, stop writing. Oh, I hate my life so much. Why can't I feel my body? Oh, don't morphine me. I'm not being a get off. Oh, Tony, stop it. Stop writing. Stop writing. Tony, I feel special. I want some coffee to eat. Oh, Tony, please, my mouth's a hammock for food. Oh, Tony, stop writing. Oh, I can see the colours of every crisp I've ever eaten. Oh, I'm going to go have a nap.
18th of November.
I'm back home now. In bed, I'm struggling to write this on my laptop. Oh, everything hurts so much. One of my tooth's wobbly. Mum isn't speaking to me. Apparently she's ashamed of me. I don't blame her. I feel just terrible. But, you know, if all's fair in love and war, then anything goes. Certainly my opinion of myself goes well down. Oh, I'm going to have a nap now, dear diary. See you next week. Oh, Cecil, is there any more of that cheese on a stick from the wedding reception? I need some dairy intake. Oh, it would be me, eh?